The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And my name's Jeff. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old and a dad mistake that I have committed this last week.
Dad confession time.
A gaming dad mistake. Well, it's a more of a learning experience. Let me put it to you like that. You've given your kid maybe an iPad at one point. I don't know maybe if he's at that age, but I've lent my iPad out to my 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. And he plays games on it. I think the game he most loves is Cool Math Games, which, as it sounds, it's just math games, harmless math games. They have it at school. We download it on our iPad. It's great.
Are they cool?
I don't know if they're cool. Their parent cool. I'm like, Whoa. Great, you're learning about math. This is amazing.
This is so cool.
I love this. So I kind of, you know, he's worked up a trust with me and gaming on the iPad. So he comes to me the other week and he says, Dad, we have this other app at school and it's called Clumsy Ninja. I'm like, all right, okay. I'm not so sure about this. So I look it up. It's a really simple app. It's kind of like a ragdoll physics of a ninja, and you kind of pose him and do funny things, you know, attach balloons to his arm and his arm would float up and whatever. It seemed pretty harmless. I played around with it just to make sure. Sure, whatever, fine. So he has this thing, right? And it's been about a week with it. Him and his brother are laughing like crazy at it.
Terrible sign. Like, he knows something's wrong.
I know. So I'm like, whatever. You know, they're having fun. I peer over their shoulder. It's harmless again. And then my buddy texts me last night. He's like, so Jeff, you really enjoying Clumsy Ninja, eh? I'm like, oh, God. What do you mean? How do you know? Oh, God. Is it linked to my social media accounts? It turns out, Trevor, I have tweeted 22 times about Clumsy Ninja. And not only just tweets, there's been pictures of my son and the Clumsy Ninja on him tweeted out under my account.
Oh, no. So, yeah. The advertisements you're going to start getting based on your newfound love of Clumsy Ninja is going to be just a riot.
I know.
Hey, you like Clumsy Ninja, eh?
Get all these targeted ads now. Great. Awesome. Yeah. So.
22 times.
Yeah. I'm pretty good about, you know, locking. I made sure I locked down the in-app purchases because I know these games are like, you know, for $1.99, you can get extra balloons to hang off this ninja or something.
You can have a red ninja.
Yeah. So I locked that down. Didn't think of social media.
You will now.
I totally will now. Yeah. So that was an experience. You know, I brought it to my son and we had a little talk about it. Just, you know, be a little more careful and not just hit the blue bird button every time you see it. Yeah. So
listen, son, your dad is what I like to call a social influencer. I've spent years cultivating this Twitter following.
That's right.
So now, what was his impetus to share it? Was it because he got to see like a funny, cute picture if he hit the share button? Like, was he incentivized to do so?
Yeah, so the app presents you with like, hey, if you tweet this moment, you'll get more gems. And in those in-game gems, you get to buy other things to put on this ninja.
So that's a no-brainer.
He knows how to read, right? So he knows what he's doing. He just doesn't know how it's getting out. Like, all he knows is that he's getting more gems and whatever. I hit the blue bird called Twitter. I don't know what that does because they don't know yet. And
thank God.
he was getting a whole bunch of gems to put on this ninja. And I don't really go on my account anymore, on that Twitter account. So it was kind of a surprise to me. When my buddy caught me off guard, so.
I love the friend announcement too. As far as like, hey, you really like this game?
yeah. No, like, hey, does your son have your account? You might be hacked. I don't know. No, it was more just, you're enjoying that game, are you? You can stop telling me about it. Thanks.
That is just about a level down from receiving the credit card statement. Like, oh, God. It's like, you really like...
Yeah.
You like Ninja $1,000 worth, I see.
Yeah. God. Oh, my. There you go. Oh, yeah, so that was... yeah, it was just a little gaming dad moment that I will be more wary of in the future.
Gaming dad takeaways, too. I'll say that one's kind of... See, I'll say that is a little bit insidious in the sense that tweeting to get gems, okay, in the sense that like, yeah, social media presence, you want to get out there. Now, would you call this game targeted towards kids?
I think very much so. Like, it's not targeted towards anybody that has any sorts of like meaning to its life. Like, it's just an app to pose a clumsy ninja, right? Like, there's no progression beyond you getting different things to put on this ninja or do with the ninja, like catapult a ninja or whatever. Yes. So I think it's very much cartoony feel towards kids. And I've already told my son to not click the, because you know these are free. They have like a video that pops up, and if you click it, it goes to that game. So I've already told him that stuff. But they have that along with the social media aspect and then in-app purchases as well, but that's locked down. But it's just a matter of, you know, come on, you're presenting this thing to kids. You know that they're going to click on everything that they can. And now you're going to have your parents after you.
What if they don't? I mean, like, kids are not supposed to have a Twitter account, like, from their
terms
of use or anything else. Like, I don't know if they restricted 18, but whatever. And they're just generally not supposed to have it. So it's, that feels like it's a play to very specifically say, okay, parent, if you don't. Lock this down in time. We're going to sneak in a couple tweets, because what else would that be besides a kid sneaking onto his parents' Twitter?
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, he tweeted out a bunch of times before it got shut down. And again, if I didn't have anybody that said anything, it would just keep going. Unless I switched back to my Twitter account. But yeah, it just seemed like it just left a weird taste in my mouth. Like, oh, okay, like, this is how you want to play it. Fine. And I know about those things. I just didn't think it was in this game, and I looked for it, and it's deep in the settings menu within their own app. So
yeah. Okay, so
that's another little, wall.
Another one to take, though, was it, and he said he got it from school. School as in other kids. I can't imagine that's sanctioned from the...
Well, and see, I don't know, because they had this other big game, which I'll go into a little bit. It was called Clicker Heroes, and literally it was... do you know that one?
I think I've heard of it. Give me the rundown, though.
Okay, so it's basically almost like a boss battle thing, and you just literally tap on the screen. And that's all you're doing, which they had it at school, and they were mouse clicking on the screen. And it would decrease the hit points of this cartoony boss, and then you could... use potions or different attacks as you gain other things and open up gifts, whatever, and then you keep clicking, and then you get to the next level, and you click on that guy. Anyway, full of in-app purchases, and the school had that one. And for whatever reason, I don't know what learning development was behind that, maybe just how to have the mouse dexterity or something, I don't know. But I downloaded that one on my phone just because it was at school, I checked it out, it was fine. But that thing is littered with in-app purchases, and it kills your battery. So if you have anything on your phone or your iPad, it's done. And so, that one had to leave. Like,
yeah, well, it's just a weird tendency, because I've seen those things, and that's just literally click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Like, repeatedly. And that does not seem like a great activity for a kid. Besides, I bet you could, on a certain age group, you could probably very easily entertain them, so they're not doing anything else. But that seems more like manipulative babysitter than it does like education institution.
Like, I specifically with that one, I think they're in a big lawsuit now with like a patent troll or something that has them locked down. And I'm like, you know what? Good. Because you made this crappy game that my kid was addicted to. Like, he's like, no, everybody's playing it. I could play it at school. And then it's a nothing game. Like, it's, like, there's no value to it. And that's me turning into my dad saying that. It's like, you're playing video games. There's no value in it. But no, this one is just like a total, there's nothing to it. It's not teaching you anything. It's not presenting a story or narrative or any other mechanic other than just tapping the screen.
Yeah. So I would say that's, no, I think that's a valuable dad shutdown as far as a game. I don't think because Mario, Fortnite, even like any like the big titles that kids maybe want to play.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it, you know, it's a entertainment medium. Go for it.
Yeah.
The click thing with.
Yeah, that's
you click if you're clicking a million times, chances are one of those is on an ad we want you to click on.
Exactly. They'll slip that in there, right? And then you click that, and then where are you? Either in the App Store or internet, or you've bought something.
Yeah, so that stuff's a bit garbage. Man, the school, you know what? Other kids playing it, your kid getting it, wanting to play it, understandable.
Yeah.
Not good, understandable.
Yeah.
Schools having it installed on their computers, that is really, they're really starting to loosen that way too much. That sucks.
And I don't know if they know, I would assume somebody vetted it, or, you know, maybe it was like my computer class where we installed a whole bunch of stuff on that computer that no one knew about.
Yeah.
I think it was Shadow Warrior that we played that was co-op around the room. So
You had Shadow Warrior installed on...
Yeah.
School computers. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was grade 9, I think, at the time. Oh, but yeah, we had that running on a LAN system. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sure. But no one knew.
Yeah. I'm sure the teachers like love the thought of it. I love the downhill slope of all this. So it started with cool math. So we went from cool math down to click heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think he was maybe baiting me with the cool math. He's like, look, Dad, look, I'm learning. All this stuff has, like, physics in it, and, you know,
and it's from
I'm
school.
Calculating a hypotenuse of this shape. Now I got clicker heroes. It's sweet.
It's the same thing, I swear. It's from school. He doesn't mention that it's from the playground in school, but it's from school.
Yeah. Well, they play Fortnite at recess, and I don't know exactly what that means, so...
Wait, they play Fortnite at recess?
Yeah, so I don't know if they've created a game where it's like tag and they run around and play characters from Fortnite, because my son hasn't played Fortnite, or if somebody physically has a device and brings Fortnite because it runs on mobile phones now. Who knows? I have no idea.
That's the thing I was going to say is like, ooh, man, that's a weird one. Because that game is troublesome. I had a conversation with a dad recently. He'd had... asked me for a recommendation for a game, and his kid was a little bit on the older side, but I think let's put him between 9 and 13.
Okay.
And he's really good at shooting game, like phenomenal player of those games, right? But they tend to be in a bit of violent side. What could we do? It's like, you know, Fortnite. Mm-hmm. It's this huge game. People have an absolute blast with this thing, and it's a bit more on the cartoony side. So it's a very well-developed world, great-looking art style, and it is shooting guns, but it's very cartoony. So it's kind of a perfect mix. And the kids loved it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they loved it.
Right. Right?
So to the point where they start getting into the parent fights around, no, you can't, like, you have to put that down now. You can't keep playing.
Wow.
You know, we have to go to soccer. You know what I mean? Like, it just started to... escalate. So it's become so, I'm trying to avoid the word addictive, honestly, because I think that's thrown around too easily.
Yeah.
But it's become such a focal point and to grab all the attention that it's starting to affect other activities, which.
Right.
Firstly,
when it becomes disruptive, right? Yeah.
That's a great word. So first it's like, hey, you're welcome for the recommendation.
Yeah, what are you pushing out there, Trevor? Come on.
See, that one's a bit trickier because I could definitely see it is built so that you're going to want to keep playing and keep coming back, right? Like there's no allusions to it, especially as a free-to-play game.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Like there's going to be that angle. But at the same time, it's not as manipulative as Click Heroes, like you said, something like that.
No, I would put it on a different tier.
So I still kind of feel good about recommending that type of game. But I'll say like in seeing the effects of it, it does worry me a bit where it's... You know, if that was the effect, which almost in some ways you could almost have assumed that was going to happen.
Yeah, or maybe it's better to experience that anyway with that type of game, and then you can kind of address it versus maybe an over-the-top violent game.
I could see it, because I remember some of that stuff with, like, GTA 3, some of the Halo franchises, myself, and just seeing it with, like, young cousins or siblings or friends type of thing, where it's just like...
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I want to keep playing Halo. No, you can't. You have to come to dinner. You saw that kind of progression, right?
Yeah.
Would we go far as to say that's a rite of passage for a young gamer to want to keep playing and to be told no?
I know, right? I've said that a couple times and it hurts my soul every time. I'm like, oh, I remember. But I remember the days back in my day, I couldn't save anytime I wanted. I had to get to the next save point.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it in rest mode.
See, what I'd like to think, though, is as you as a gaming dad, and then even with the Fortnite example, let's say the Fortnite example, my kid, your kid, this example, yeah. Dad's kid gets into it.
Yeah.
And they're right in the middle. It's like, no, Dad, I'm in the top 10, or there's only 10 left.
Yep. I would understand.
See, I think I'd like to think as gaming dads, it's like, okay, but as soon as this round is finished,
yep,
like you're done. Or if it was Street Fighter and, you know, like, no, I'm in an online match, like, or Hearthstone, or, you know, any of those ones. It's like, it's one of those benefits of having some knowledge as opposed to, no, leave that now.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like, listen, I've sat exactly where you're sitting.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So you can finish this round, but don't you dare start the next one.
Like, right, you push it. Yeah, that's it. Or better yet, you jump on your own game of Fortnite. You go in, you eliminate your kid in game. Say, now it's dinner time in the chat.
Oh, you got to sleep. Oh, you're a sleeper agent in every one of the games just in case. Well, they better be good. At my record, I doubt I'm going to be as good as my kids playing games. No. I just really seem to be bad at video games. A slow dad realization.
We're from a different generation. Our reaction times are slowly dwindling. Memories are going.
You know, that, you know, really does raise some questions around the right time to introduce kids to games and when they do first touch it, but, you know, also some of the fond memories of when you first started to play, which just happens to be the topic of our Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week, we feature an exceptional gaming dad, and often their kids, who are doing fatherhood and gaming so well. Do you remember the first time you picked up a controller? As a father, will you remember the first time your child does? That's the new chapter for gaming dads, the next generation of gamers picking up the torch. And this week's Gaming Dad Victory of the Week captured this moment perfectly. In a photo shared by Gaming Dad Joe, we see a PlayStation controller, its red light beaming across a lap, as two small hands grip it and work the thumbstick. It calls back to the gaming dad's own beginning, games of Pitfall and Maze Craze on the Atari. A gamer's first games, the familiar excitement and awe, set 35 years apart between a father and a child. For starting the next generation of gamer, Joe has earned his place on the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, send along the information to us at our website, newdadgaming.com.
And with that, we go to this week's gaming cheat sheet, where we run down the highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. Much like our own dad lives, Kratos embarks on a babysitting journey with his son to fight the demons of the world in the new God of War game coming out next week. Extremely positive reviews are already flooding in for this warrior god of the PS4, which will be officially released on April 20th. Dads be warned, though, this is obviously not a game for the kiddos, with the overtop violence, and also beware of the many spoilers in the online forums, so tread lightly if you want to keep the mystery behind this new title. And did you ever play The Floor is Lava as a kid? Well, game publisher Clay has put that idea into gaming with their next release entitled Hot Lava. This game has you parkouring across the virtual world in a way reminiscent of the popular title Mirror's Edge, but the floor has actual lava that will end your game quite quickly if you fall into it. If you're a fan of such games, or if you're looking to relive your childhood a little bit, you can sign up for the beta on Clay's website today. Sega's fans rejoice! Shenmue 1 and 2 are officially being remastered and launched this year. The collection will contain English and Japanese voiceovers, changeable control options, and scalable resolutions. For those that didn't manage to experience these classics on the Dreamcast, PS4, Xbox, and PC owners can pick up the collection for $29.99 US later this year. It'll be good preparation for the upcoming Shenmue 3, which was successfully funded on Kickstarter a few years ago. The indie title Shovel Knight has officially sold over 2 million copies. It's always great to see the smaller titles pull such a great milestone, and with Shovel Knight, it looks like the push to Nintendo consoles have given it quite a sales boost, with the Switch version selling the fastest. Kudos to Yacht Club Games for this achievement. And if you're into retro gaming, the Xbox has announced a slew of backwards compatible titles that will soon be available for the Xbox One later this month. Highlights from the titles announced are the original Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2, Elder Scrolls Morrowind, SSX 3, and Red Dead Redemption, which has completely been remastered in 4K resolution and looks stunning on today's TV screens. And Billy Mitchell, the man that set various video game high scores in the 80s and 90s, has been removed from the record books. Billy was most famous for holding records in Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., and Pac-Man, which when under investigation, it has been revealed that he used emulators and not the original arcade machines to achieve the results. Twin Galaxies, the company that tracks and verifies video games' high scores, has scrubbed Billy Mitchell from their leaderboards. And to pour salt on the wound, the Guinness Book of World Records has followed suit by removing Billy from their books as well. Billy has since given a statement that he will provide proof that his records were legitimate, so I guess the debacle isn't over just yet. On the gaming release front this week, we are treated to just a couple of gaming highlights. Rick and Morty Virtual Reality makes its way to PSVR, Hellblade gets its release on Xbox One, and Master of Anima launches for the Switch. That's the gaming cheat sheet for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next week for another update.
God of War, literally as Kratos as a dad.
Yeah.
Like, so if that is not a call out to all the fatherhood gamers, like, I don't know what it would be. It's like power
war.
Listen, you want your power fantasy, right? But here's you got a kid. So does Kratos. He's still cool. You can do it, Dad. He has to stop at some point as like a punishment mechanic. Like, oh no, your son stole a chicken from the neighbor. What do you, Kratos, God of War, do?
You're in a timeout, 10 seconds.
Yeah, choose timeout, make them do chores.
Quick time event for dad jokes.
Oh, jeez, yes. Oh, I had such a great dad joke. The small diversion. So the wife was making pancakes. She had made it for everybody else, but had kind of run out. It's like, oh, no, sorry, honey. I ran out of the pancake mix. We won't be able to make any more. I'm like, oh, don't worry, honey. It doesn't batter.
Oh no. Wow. And she just looked at you like
So she left and the sorry. I'll take it. But that's the type of puns you'd expect in God of War. Cuz now he has a son. Yeah. Actually, real talk though, honest question. Will they have him say a dad pun?
I don't know if they'd put that in there.
It's like so you got to admit it's tempting. It'd be unexpected. It would make everybody groan.
Yep.
It would be pretty wild. It would be the first AAA dad pun.
Maybe after like a brutal kill, he'll say something that's like, you know, like a dad.
Yeah, it's like
dad advice to his kid.
Well, I wanted to keep him, but I had to give him the axe. Or some nonsense like that.
You need to play it and commentate over it and just kind of say the dad jokes.
Damn, that would be that would be a really funny dad stream. It's just like Kratos dad jokes,
all the time.
Interesting though. So like the problem I will say, what's been really reassuring is the reviews have been coming in. They have this like one poster where it's like 10 out of 10 from 15, 20 different websites.
Yep.
Which is great because the concern was not companion quest. What's it called when you have to drag somebody along?
It's kind of like an escort mission kind of thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Escort missions have long been some of the worst gaming moments ever. And this entire game is an escort mission.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna have to keep your kid alive. So it's really reassuring to see such amazing reviews for it.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty surprised because they switched a lot of stuff in this one. Even like the perspective, it's like the over-the-shoulder kind of perspective versus Kratos was usually... Like he was, you could see almost like a pretty big part of the level, and you can run around and kill people with your chains.
It was top down, right? Like it was a top down arcade style thing. So a little bit interesting to see them go like the Fallout or GTA type of route.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if is he gonna have sex in this game?
I don't know. Like his kid has to kind of like wait outside or something.
Because he did, clearly, because he's got a kid. Well, yeah. I don't know. Who knows how it works with gods? But the...
Well, isn't he going to have flashbacks of his original family? That's what started this whole thing, right? That's why he's died in their ash.
Yeah, no, that's not the reason you're not going to play this with your kid. You probably should not play this with your kid.
Yeah.
You would almost think, much like we're coming into it as dads who play games, being dads, as our kids are starting to play them as well, you have to almost imagine that the game developers themselves, like there's so many more that likely now have kids as well.
Yeah, I think even the director, producer is now, family man. So that probably was a big influence on this story.
Yeah, they can now tell that story, right?
Yep.
As writers or whatever else, like to actually have a family connection and a kid to kind of draw from an emotional well for the story. It'd be an interesting one. I don't know if it's necessarily a day one purchase for myself, but but for the dad pun stream alone, it might just be worth it.
Live stream dad puns off the cuff. Can you imagine?
Yeah, pressure's on.
So many views. That would just take off.
So real fast on Shenmue, which I always thought, I honestly never did play it, only ever heard of it from afar, and heard it regarded as kind of art as far as the game was concerned. Like, did you have any experience with it?
Yeah, my buddy had a Dreamcast. Actually, it was a hacked Dreamcast, so he had all the Japanese stuff that wasn't released over here, because I don't think Shenmue 2 was officially released until later, much, much later. But I remember playing Shenmue 1, and it was at the time, see, I'm going back 20 years, I don't know. It was a story unlike anything at that time, I'll say, just with the 3D environments, and you could go about this town that seemed to be full of life, and everybody would go about their day. You know, when it gets dark or rainy, people would go inside, which I don't think many games did at that point in time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they would just stand out by their quest area all the time, and you go and get the quest and then you continue on, where Shenmue, people had schedules to keep and you could get a job and you had to keep that schedule. So it was kind of a neat first of its kind, I'll say. Maybe, I want to say, like, at least for me, I'm not so sure about going back to it. It's kind of like you have these fond memories and then you go back and you're like, those mechanics aren't really there.
So it's either that you loved it so much you want to revisit it. Although it sounds like a bit of a, you forgive my use of this word, but tedious game to get back into.
Yeah, it's not that's like, probably a good one.
It's not action-packed like a racing game. Like, it's very much like a story-driven, quiet, schedule-based game. So, I think much like myself and Shadow of the Colossus, where I always knew about that game, always wanted to play it, and only now on this like fifth re-release of the damn thing did I finally get into it. You could kind of see it. Plus, anybody who'd heard about it, was interested for Shenmue 3, exactly like you said in the news clip. How about you play some history? You got 1 and 2 before you hop into the third.
Yeah, and like at a relatively reasonable price, right? Like $30, not so bad. You get full, those games are probably 40 hours long, so if you actually had to sludge through them, that's
dad price approved, I think. Like you're not going to feel bad about that type of price. They're trying to do like $80. It's like, all right, well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely dad price approved. I'm not sure about dad time approved or dad frustration approved.
Dads ain't got time for that. A mobile port, maybe we can talk. But
exactly.
Oh, and otherwise, the Xbox backwards compatibility sounded like it kind of had your number. Because there was Battlefront 1 and 2.
Yep.
And most notably, Red Dead Redemption.
Yes.
Now, I don't think you have an Xbox, but if you did...
Totally. That would sweeten that pot pretty quickly. I've always loved Red Dead Redemption. I think I still have the game case downstairs for PS... Is it PS2 now? God, I can't remember. Long time ago. I think it's PS2.
Ancient history.
PS3.
Man, did that thing really? That's got to be PS3. Does that thing run on
PS3,
PS2?
Right? Maybe I'm thinking the first one, Red Dead Revolver, and that might have been PS2.
That was that for sure was PS2. Yeah. I didn't know that was a sequel.
Yeah. Yes. Well. Yes. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but yeah, I totally want to play that game again. It's a great game. If you have not, have you played it, Red Dead Redemption?
Never played it.
It is it's awesome to see what Rockstar can do in a Western setting versus the city of GTA, of Grand Theft Auto. They kind of do all that out in the West, and it's awesome. It's just the way they can do these beautiful like lakes and canyons and sunsets, and you have cacti all over the desert. And I remember one vivid scene in that game where there's a broken down carriage on the side of the road, and I'm riding through with my horse, and the one lady's like saying, "Help, help, please help us." I get out, I try to help them, they immediately rope tie me. It was a setup. I got robbed, and I was left in, I woke up in the dark in the desert, and I didn't have my horse, and I had to walk all the way back to the village. I'm like, this game is awesome. Yeah. I am such a fool.
Also, damn it.
Yeah, no.
Nothing but trust issues with youth.
I don't trust anybody anymore.
Yeah.
You get your own help.
Lesson learned. Never stop and help anybody.
No.
But with that, we'll wrap it up for the week. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and any other podcasting service. If you'd like to reach out to us for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, you can submit to us from our website. And we'd love to hear from you about show notes, ideas, questions, and anything else for fathers who game. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
We'll see you next week.
See you.